In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We heard again today the same passage from the letter to the Hebrews that we heard last week on the day that we celebrated all of the saints. And the reason that we heard the same passages today about the Old Testament heroes of faith and their not receiving the fulfillment of the promise so that we could all receive the fulfillment of the promise that was made to them together in Christ is that today we are remembering all of the saints of America. And they too are the fruit of Pentecost, as all of us are called to be the fruit of Pentecost. All of us are called to live lives that are fulfilled in a way that they could not be lived were it not possible for us to join ourselves to the perfectly human, perfect life of Christ, who is the Son of God. That is the good news. It is possible to live that life. And some more of the good news is that in 21st century America, we have found the only place where it is preached that it is possible to live that life. Archbishop Dimitri used to come to his little parishes all over the Diocese of the South, many of which are large parishes now. And one of the sermons that he preached was this. He said, "There are many Christs who are worshipped." When Jesus asked Peter and the other apostles, "Who am I? Who do you say that I am?" He wasn't asking them a question about the opinion of other people who said that he was this or that he was that, he was the coming again of Elijah or something else. He was asking a question that had to do with the center of their own heart. The question was as much about them as it was about him. Who do you say that I am? And Archbishop Dimitri would say that amongst us, there is no problem with the answer. We have the answer. We know who he is. He is the one who saves us by filling our lives with the divine life of God the Father himself. And the evidence, the witnesses are all around us, as we heard again today. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. All of the saints, and all of the saints of America, they are the witnesses to the reality of our salvation, if we live that life of salvation. But no participation, salvation, we don't know about that. We heard today from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, two sections from that Gospel. They are back-to-back sections, which is kind of unusual when we have two readings, one for this particular Sunday in the reading of the cycle of passages through the Gospel during the year, and the other specifically chosen for all of the saints of America. The one chosen for all of the saints of America was the reading from the Beatitudes, that great sermon that oftentimes we point out to ourselves is really for Christians the equivalent of the Ten Commandments. And there's this dream that I have sometimes of Orthodox putting signs out in their yards, not with the Ten Commandments, but with the Beatitudes on them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, and all of the rest of the Beatitudes. Because it is a description of the Christian life, a description of the life that we live when we abandon this world in order to take up our cross and to fulfill the living of our own lives by following Christ. We heard in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, just before the reading of the Beatitudes, how Jesus went and called the first two apostles, Saints Peter and Andrew. And in the section we heard today, he goes, they're fishing, he calls them, he says, come, follow me. They turn, they follow him. But we have to remember, this isn't the first time they've met. Peter and Andrew were disciples, were followers of John the Baptist. Peter and Andrew were those very two people who were with John the Baptist when John the Baptist said those words about Christ, "Behold the Lamb of God." Their teacher had pointed out Christ as the Messiah, the one who had been promised. They knew who he was. John the Baptist had pointed him out. They had heard teachings from him while they were followers of John the Baptist. But when John was arrested, Peter and Andrew went back to fishing. It's not enough to just know who Christ is. Following him is a separate thing, something that takes the rest of your life. But when he came down to where they were fishing and told them, follow me, they did. They followed him. But when he was arrested, St. Peter left him a second time. It tore him inside that he did it. And then when Jesus came again a third time, after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, the risen Christ came to Peter and the other apostles. And never again did Peter leave Jesus the Christ. He followed Christ beyond death, because death had no power to strike fear into his heart ever again. There's a difference between recognizing who Christ is. We have that. Almost every one of us is a convert to the fullness of the Christian faith that we have found in the Orthodox Church. We know what we have here. Some of us searched for years before we found what is here and nowhere else. A challenge to live our lives at one with God and the fact that it is possible. There is the crowd of witnesses. But do we live that life that all of us gave something of in order to join ourselves to? That's the question. And if we don't, then why? Sometimes we say, well, it's just so hard. Being Orthodox is hard. We fast. We have spiritual effort that we're expected to make. And so we commiserate with ourselves. We feel sorry for the old Adam. Poor old damned Adam, living a life of death. How can I put an end to this life that is so important to me? How can I stop living a life of living death? With the pride of putting myself in place of God and destroying those around me by worshiping a power that does not come from above. How can I put an end to that? I feel so sorry for poor old Adam, the old man. Jesus Christ went into Hades to pull the old Adam up so that he could live the life that God had given him to live. So let's not delude ourselves with this phony sympathy for ourselves as we are separate from God, as though that is the true person that we are. It isn't. There is no such person. It's a figment of an imagination turned away from God. We say that it's too hard, it's too difficult. Jesus says opposite. Says, take up your cross and follow me. You will find that the burden is light. The burden is heavy when we're trying to be God for ourselves. That's when the burden is heavy. So why don't we respond? And Jesus asks, do you believe in me? He doesn't ask the way we are asked today, and sometimes we think the answer to the question that Orthodox should be ready to to give an answer to is, what do you believe in? What do you Orthodox believe? We're on safe ground there. What do you believe? And if we're up on our stuff, we might even be able to answer that question. We might even be able to tell people what we believe. We know who Christ is. Let me tell you all of the things that you don't know. We came into this Orthodox Church, and now we have got the perfect denomination. We've got the fullness of the doctrines and the teachings of the early church right here. The riches of the Christian faith are here, all together in one place. Let me tell you about it. But we can completely answer that question, what do you believe, without having responded to Christ's question, do you believe in me? His question has to do with what is in our heart. And we can be believing Orthodox, able to teach the faith, and in our hearts, there is a belief, there is a faith in our hearts in something altogether different. And the proof is in the fruit, how we live in the world. And remember, all of this business of, I feel in my heart, that's not the heart we're talking about. That's emotion, that's passion. You can believe in Christ emotionally and passionately and be tied at the center of who you are, where what we mean by heart is, to something completely opposite, something completely different. And yet you can confess with fervor and emotion your belief in the Orthodox faith, your belief in Christ, and still not have answered Jesus' question honestly. Do you believe in me? Is that what is at the center of your heart? Because what we believe in the center of who we are, where our center is in our hearts, that will determine how we live, what path we follow, whether we follow Christ or not, because that's what he wants to know when he asks, do you believe in me? It's not an academic question. When he asks, he wants to know, will you follow my path? Will you live in me and share my life? Will you put down that false and fictional, imaginary life that you think you can live separate from God? Are you willing to put an end to that, to bear the light burden, much lighter than trying to be God for ourselves, and follow me? If we're not doing that, then we need to reassess what it means for us to claim that we are Orthodox Christians. If we're not doing that, and maybe don't even intend to do that, and have faith in our belief in these doctrines and teachings, then maybe we need to go to confession before we come to the chalice. Or at least confess now and remember why we became Orthodox Christians in the first place. Not just be able to face down those whose doctrines and traditions aren't as solid and impressive as ours, but to live this life that God has given us to live. The problem lies in our heart. We must change what we believe in our heart. Not to believe that what holds our lives together is the things of the world that we desire that make us feel as though that imaginary person is a real person. How can it not be a real person? I have all these things. I have all this control. I have all this power. Others are nothing to me. They just get in the way. That should be a proof to us that it's an illusion, that it's imaginary. It's really not that much to give up. But at the center of our heart, we are ruled by those kinds of passions. And when Jesus Christ asks us, do you believe in me? We ought to at least have the decency to remain silent if what we believe in is something other than him. Do something. about what is going on in our hearts. Turn to God and pray for faith and oneness with Him. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.